Hey, I'm Danny Levy, and you're listening to Digital Transformation and Leadership. This is the show where we go behind the scenes with today's top business leaders to understand how they're digitally transforming their company. This week, I welcome back onto the show Laura Bernhard. She's the LinkedIn content strategist and team lead at Automation Wolf, and the founder of the Marketing Bound podcast. Laura, welcome back to Digital Transformation and Leadership.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. What is this, our third time?
It's our third time, yeah. And we're following up the podcasting episode we did last time, which got a really great response on LinkedIn. A lot of people reached out and said how much they'd taken away from that, how valuable it was. It helped them get started on their own podcasting journey. So really good to have you back.
That's amazing. I'm so glad.
And today we're going to be talking all about personal branding. We're going to lean a lot on LinkedIn, and we're going to share a bit more on our kind of our own personal branding journeys.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
And maybe a good way to start the episode would be for you to maybe give the listeners a bit more information about your current role and how you're helping, I guess, other people with their personal brands at the moment and what you're doing.
Absolutely. So right now I work for an agency that helps CEOs, entrepreneurs, like agency owners with their branding on LinkedIn. And the whole premises is to capture their expertise and create snackable content for LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. We only focus on LinkedIn because right now, you know how everyone's kind of like going crazy over TikTok? Like, yeah. Oh my God, there's so much reach. There's so much potential. Mm-hmm. So LinkedIn is the equivalent for businesses, for B2B.
Completely agree. And how do you help them create this snackable content?
We interview the entrepreneurs and we take everything from that interview and we create content for the full month.
Okay.
So it's a very lean process where it doesn't take a lot of the CEO's time or the entrepreneur's time. Mm-hmm. And instead, we take that 1 hour, we make it really, really worth it for them.
Okay.
Because then we're creating content for the full month.
Yeah. So that's a huge time-saving opportunity for kind of the very busy executive that isn't able to invest an hour, 2 hours a day on the platform.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So instead of having, and content creation is a huge part of personal branding, mm-hmm. but it's so time consuming. Yep. And what's great about this lean process is that we're still capturing their authority. Mm. So a lot of people are very hesitant to outsource content creation because it doesn't sound like them, because they're not an expert in their field. This way, we're getting all the information from the CEO, from the entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And then we're just making sure that we're working on the content creation side. We're not worried about their expertise.
Okay.
We're just worried about creating the right content to reach their audience.
So what do you do in advance to make sure that you can do that with the what you take out of the interview?
We make sure that we're asking the right questions.
Okay.
Right? So you don't want to ask questions that are yes or no. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that we're having conversations mm-hmm. that can be extracted and channeled into small bite-sized videos and text pieces and polls, you know, really leveraging all the parts of LinkedIn that are working today.
Yeah. So the interview is almost like an hour-long podcast interview, is it? Or
exactly.
Video interview. Very similar. And then you cut it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So we have to make sure we're just getting the right questions because, like, you and I are talking right now, but it's very hard to cut down a conversation into 1 to 2 minutes when you're just talking like you and I are.
Yep.
So we have to make sure that that is just laid out properly so that we can do it. Yeah. Basically how we do it.
It's also difficult, isn't it? Because if you listen back to it, you tend to have a lot of bias into what the best bits are. But actually then when you get someone who's impartial or you outsource it, they may select short snippets that are completely different or things that you actually just pass up and think are not interesting.
Yeah, and you'd be so surprised at how harsh people are on themselves. Like, really successful people, they're like, oh, no, that wasn't good. Or, oh, was that good? Should I do it again? Or they'll even say, like, just a joke. Okay. And then they're like, oh, no, take that out.
Okay.
They're like, oh, no, I don't know if I should say that. Like, building a personal brand on social media is very hard. And everybody who's listening to this who has tried and failed or just scared to try, like, you're not alone. Everybody. Very successful people are also very hesitant to do it.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us. And even, I'm sure you felt the same way, but when I was starting too, I was scared like crazy.
It's true, right? I mean, it gives you, even the most seasoned professionals with years of experience, if you've never done it, it can give you quite a lot of anxiety, kind of just trying to put yourself out there in that way.
Yeah, it's just a different way of putting yourself out there that you're not used to. And it's normal to feel scared is what I'm trying to say. So if anyone listening who feels scared, like, we were all there with you, still go ahead and do it. It's worth it.
And for the CEOs that you work with, do you post from their accounts? Or how does that work? Because I guess if it's being posted from a company account or someone else's account, it's not going to have the same impact as it as if it's coming from the person themselves.
Exactly. Whenever you want to build your personal brand, you always want it to be from your profile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recommended by the experts, I'm not going to call myself an expert, but by the experts to always use your personal profile.
Mm-hmm.
Because people want to connect with people, and especially on LinkedIn, they want to talk to you as a human, not to your company profile.
Yeah. Well, if it comes from the company profile, you've just got no idea who's behind the logo. You know, is it the head of marketing? Is it the marketing intern? Is it the salesperson? Exactly. You've got no idea. Whereas when you see that face, that smiling face, you feel like you've got a connection with that person. And then especially when you start interacting in comments and maybe a DM, it's a very personal feeling, isn't it?
I'll tell you a story. So I had stopped posting on LinkedIn, which is, by the way, terrible for your personal brand, is to be inconsistent, right?
Because
you lose trust with the people that you've built relationships with the community that you've built.
Yeah.
And I was gone for like 3 months, something ridiculous. Although
I do think LinkedIn's very supportive. It's quite a supportive network. Like, if you've got, because you've got a lot of followers, right? But you tend to have, I don't know, maybe 20 people, 50 people at the most that's actually in your community that might engage with your content. So I found that if you build good relationships, even if you stop for a couple of months, 3 months, and you come back, maybe the algorithm punishes you so your content isn't as visible, but those people quite quickly will start interacting with you again.
I completely agree with you, because after 3 months, two people reached out and said, oh, where's your content?
Yeah.
I miss it. And I was so touched.
I wasn't one of those two people, and I feel massively guilty now.
You didn't even notice I was gone.
Yeah. I blame the algorithm.
You know what? I'll let that slide.
Okay, good.
Because it's very possible.
Okay.
But yeah, so when two people reached out to me, like, it kind of reminded me, like, even when you think nobody's watching, like, people are there. People are supporting you. Just because people aren't liking or following or commenting, like, you still have those impressions. And impressions are so underrated. I posted today, actually.
Yeah.
And I think it got 8 likes. So if you went on my profile and saw that, you'd be like, wow, this chick's got nothing going for her, right? But it reached 2,000 people.
Yeah.
Which means 2,000 people saw my name talking about, I was talking about a book, talking about that book. So even though only 8 people liked the post, and I think I got like another 8 commenting on it, that's 2,000 people that now have seen my name once this week.
Yep.
So let's say I post again tomorrow, and again I get like, let's say 4 likes, but I get another 2,000 people seeing my profile, seeing my face. Like, that's how you build trust, is just showing up over and over and over again. Just like when you're younger, you trust your parents the most because you see them the most.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you don't trust them. If they're doing things in the bad way, right? If you're seeing that every day, you're like, it's a bit weird.
Yeah. There's, you know, it can go different ways for sure, but just for the sake of this example, you usually trust your parents the most,
yeah,
because they're just in your vicinity. You just see them the most.
Yeah.
Same thing on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And that's why consistency is also important.
Yeah. And you'd be paying a lot of money for that same kind of reach, wouldn't you, if you were having to do advertising spend? So if you were going to pay for, say, to email 2,000 people from someone else's database, that's, you know, it's not cheap, is it? Or you're paying for an ad spend across a website in terms of advertising clicks. It's doesn't come cheap.
Yeah, and that's what I don't get is, like, people... I think it's because people want an easy way out. They just want to, like, spend $2,000 and just, like, yeah, I tried it. Whereas content creation, personal branding, building a community, all that that goes together, it's a way more active initiative as opposed to just, like, outsourcing an email list or whatever.
Yeah. And even if you don't outsource, Laura, and you're someone senior, again, just it can be quite intimidating if you think, oh, I need to create content to share on LinkedIn. Is there something you would be thinking about in terms of ways in which you can create content, but it isn't too intrusive on your week, on your job, on any commitments you've got outside of work? Are there things you can be doing to make it easy on yourself?
So many things. Let's start with, like, you and I were talking about this right before the chat, is our podcasts.
Yeah.
So I have the Marketing Bound podcast. I started posting about it, letting people know that I have free inbound marketing tips and strategies. Here you go. Mm-hmm. That's how I started. And over time, you know, doing that every single week, although I technically wasn't creating the content, I was interviewing experts on the topic. Slowly, slowly, I built a community.
Mm-hmm.
And content creation was easier for me because I interviewed people for like 30 minutes an hour. Very easy to create posts, whether that was video or a text post, right?
Yeah.
But what we do at my job is we use the ACES method. So ACES framework. So if you really don't know what to write, you go back to this framework. A is for authority. So something of authority, let's say, if you are an expert in, let's say, content writing, okay, you write a post about content writing. That's the authority. C is connect. So before you were talking to me about how you posted something about what you were eating and like how great it was, that's a connection piece.
Yeah.
Because people can relate to that when you just find that great restaurant and you can't wait to go back.
Something more personal.
Something personal because it makes you human. Then E is engage. So that's like a poll. That's a text post with a question at the end. Something to get people commenting. And then finally, S is sell. And you want to make sure, like, if I were to give you percentages, sell is obviously only like 10% of the time. And then you can mix up the other three, no problem.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit more authority than the others.
Yeah.
But sell is definitely the least.
Yeah, yeah. Always makes and me laugh on LinkedIn. Even I rarely push the podcast, but, you know, maybe once a week I'll do a podcast post. And I always know that the podcast post, the engagement and comments will just plummet. Because, you know,
always.
I mean, it's something for free, but you're asking somebody to invest some time away from the platform, away from what they're doing to listen. You're actually asking them rather than just giving away what you know for free and trying to help them in some way. That always does really well. But the minute, you ask for someone to do something for you, oh, where did everyone go?
And I realized that too when I was promoting my podcast at the beginning. So what I try to do now, and sometimes I don't always get it, but I try, is every single post, and you can ask yourself this before any single time that you post, and it'll help you. It's like a filter you need to go through. Does this post result in an immediate outcome?
Yeah.
And I'll explain what I mean by that. That means that your post will help the audience right away. So, you know, like sometimes you can have a list, top 10 books that you recommend.
Yeah.
That helps someone right away because you just gave them 10 recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then you can also entertain somebody with your posts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also an immediate outcome. So it doesn't always have to be the authority stuff.
Yeah.
It can also be the connection stuff.
Yeah.
And that connection stuff has an immediate outcome. It's not always informative. It can be entertaining. It can be emotional. It can be make someone laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But before you post anything, always ask yourself that question. And if the answer is no, then revisit the post.
Yeah.
So what I do for the podcast posts is I like tell them some of the advice that is revealed within the podcast.
Yeah, I do the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then only if they're interested, I say, hey, if you do want to listen to the full episode, it's in the comments below.
Mm. Yeah, I'm the same. I actually even stopped attaching the podcast artwork because I would find that maybe someone would see it and then scroll on by rather than, you know, those initial three lines of text, which is all somebody can see. If that perks their interest and they click to find out more and you know, you provoke an emotional response out of them and they like it, I think that, again, this is my thinking, but I think they're more likely to then click onto the link in the comments and maybe check out the episode.
Yeah, I found like the text posts sometimes do much better than when you put the image.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't do video on my podcast, but I guess you do video. I don't know how you find where you post a video snippet. Do they do better?
Yeah, so for video, it's strange because on LinkedIn, for it to count as a video view, you need to watch for 3 seconds. Hmm. Whereas an impression of a text post, you just need to scroll by.
Yeah.
So it's so much easier to get impressions on a text post.
Okay.
So it always seems like your text posts are doing better.
Yeah. Do you just scroll by or do you have to click to find out more for an impression?
No, you just have to scroll by.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right.
That can be misleading then. You're thinking maybe 2,000 people, but that's 2,000 people just scrolled by. You don't know if they've given you much attention then.
Okay, so here's the trick. If I have 8 likes and 2,000 impressions, that means there has to be some kind of dwell time to tell LinkedIn to push this out to more people.
Okay.
I don't know if that made sense. I can say it in another way. When a post gets a lot of impressions, it, like, let's say, let's say over 500 impressions.
Yeah.
That means LinkedIn has deemed this post worthy of pushing it to more people.
Okay.
So there has to be a reason for that. So usually that is the number of likes or the number of comments.
Mm.
However, if you have a lot of impressions and not a lot of likes, that means people press the read more.
Yeah.
And they read my post. They just didn't find it worthy enough to comment.
Mm-hmm.
So people were interested in my post, but then were like, oh, like, I don't want to post.
Mm.
I was talking about a specific book, so people were probably interested in the book. But then if they didn't read it, they're obviously not going to comment.
Okay. But right? It doesn't mean they didn't take anything away, like you said.
Exactly. Yeah. Doesn't mean they didn't see my name.
Yeah.
Because they did.
Yeah.
So if you have 8 likes and over 1,000 impressions, like, people are still reading your posts.
Mm.
Don't leave that unnoticed.
And everyone's different. Why do you think people should get started building their personal brand? And why did you get started, Laura?
Okay, so I won't lie. Personally, I started mine by accident. Because my only goal was to get people to listen to my podcast.
Yeah.
Little did I realize that I was creating a community online. And as a result, building trust with people.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, building a personal brand.
Yeah.
Now, by being relatively consistent on the platform and always giving away free stuff, when you start building that trust with people, that's when you can start selling whatever service or product that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so for anybody listening, a small business, agency owners, entrepreneurs, even CEOs, building a personal brand, everyone is doing it regardless, But if you're leveraging it on a specific social media platform, you are increasing the chances of a new stream of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Starting my personal brand online, I accidentally got leads.
Yeah.
Like, my side business happened by accident.
And that was just people reaching out to you, wanting to find out more, know what you were doing.
Yeah.
They've been on your profile page, read through, and they were intrigued.
Exactly. Yeah. That's me showing up in their feed over and over and over again. And then saying like, I do need help with podcasting, or I do need help with marketing. I'm going to reach out to her.
Mm. Yeah, I was the same. I mean, for me, it was the beginning of COVID, the COVID outbreak last year. And the whole world was just turned upside down. For some reason, I thought it was a really good idea to launch a podcast during a lockdown with two children at home and start posting on LinkedIn. And I know I've spoken to a lot of people. I've interviewed people with massive followings on LinkedIn. And most of the advice is to really not get started unless you've got a specific goal in mind, an aim. And, you know, to show up on the platform every day and to kind of write about that one thing that you want to be known for. So if you want to be known for marketing, you show up every day and you talk and you write about marketing, and maybe you can have kind of content pillars underneath that, but it should still pull from that one main thing. Mm-hmm. And the goal should always be to cement yourself in people's minds so that when they think of that one thing, if they think of marketing, or if you write about sales, if they think of sales, you're the person that pops up in their mind. And then over time, if you do it consistently, like you said, when they need that service, they'll reach out to you via LinkedIn, because you're the authority, you're the person they think of. I got started on LinkedIn without any strategy and just kind of felt my way into it. And I think it's like anything for me. I've been on the platform now for 18 months, year and a half, fairly actively. I need to spend far less time on the platform now, like a lot less time. And I've got certain things that work for me. I run a company in Singapore, so I only go on the platform after work now in the evenings. And also with the Asian time, it works quite well because most of the engagement I get is from Europe and the US. I don't know whether people are as active in Asia or maybe just not in my network. So it works for me. And I've got much better at either batch creating content at the weekends, or I'm able just to write a post in kind of 30 seconds to a minute, or I can look back at all the other posts I've done over the last year and a half and repurpose some content. Mm-hmm. So for me, like I got started, I didn't have much of a strategy, but then like everything over time, you just get better and you kind of, I wouldn't say perfect, so that's far from the truth, but you get better at what you're doing and you learn the ins and outs of it and how to engage and how to be seen better in posts. So I would say to people, if they're not quite sure if they should get started and they don't know exactly what the foundation or strategy should be, that shouldn't put them off. They should just try it for themselves, and you can easily optimize along the way. And worst case, nobody sees the first 20 posts you do. They get no engagement, right? But it doesn't really matter.
I know where like these big LinkedIn gurus are coming from, because in the end you do have to niche down to like what you want to be known for. But I think a lot of people use that as an excuse not to get started.
Mm.
They're like, oh, well, I don't know what I want to do, so I have to wait till I figure it out.
Yeah,
but we can't wait forever here.
Yeah. Or they do a couple of posts and the posts get very little engagement, and then they look at someone like Justin Welsh, who gets thousands of likes and comments, and they think, well, I'm never going to get to that level. I'm going to give up.
Yeah. I also feel like this is going to sound so cliche, but you can't compare yourself to people like when you're on your first chapter and they're on their like 29th chapter.
No.
And also the reason for this is like they started 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Precisely.
Like, do it for 2 years and then see what happens.
Yeah. And the way I think about it as well is like, for me, LinkedIn, I know this this might sound counterintuitive, but for me, LinkedIn isn't that important. Like, I can easily do my job without LinkedIn, but but what LinkedIn gives me is it's an extra channel, so it's like an added bonus. So if I'm getting inbound leads through LinkedIn, if I'm able to promote the podcast through LinkedIn, it's got this great organic reach. It's just a great supplementary channel, but I'm not too wrapped up in spending hours on the platform because I know I can still do what I need to do without LinkedIn.
Yeah, and I just think that people on LinkedIn are, like, the people who want to get on LinkedIn are just making excuses.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to not just start posting.
Exactly, yeah.
There's no reason to start like, just start. And I also want to remind everybody that LinkedIn, the whole purpose of LinkedIn being LinkedIn is to connect with others. So posting, if you're scared to post, just comment on other people's posts.
Yeah, exactly.
I interviewed Judy Fox. I don't know if you've heard that interview, but I can send you the link after.
Yeah,
it's
please.
Super, super good. Judy Fox is like a queen of LinkedIn.
Okay.
And she told me, she's like, if you spend, I don't know, 15 minutes a day just commenting on other people's posts, she said every post, or sorry, every comment is considered a post in LinkedIn's eyes.
Yeah.
So instead of posting on your profile once per day, you can actually comment on other people's profiles, let's say 10 times a day. That's going to help you sometimes even more than posting on your profile.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't need to create content and post every day, do you? You could post once or twice a week. And if you're on the platform commenting on other people's content, like you said, maybe 10 times a day or even 5 times a day if it's the right people. And you're leaving a thoughtful comment, not a nice exclamation mark.
Yeah.
a cool glasses emoji. If you're actually leaving a thoughtful comment that's adding value and more depth to the existing post, you're going to get seen by the right people, especially if you're strategic with the people you're commenting on. So if you want to be seen by CMOs and you're commenting on, say, someone with massive reach within marketing, and then maybe you also mix that up with someone with middle reach and maybe low reach in marketing, but other marketers are commenting on those posts, you're going to get seen by the right people, you're going to grow your network in the right way. And it's only going to boost the chances that you kind of get the opportunities and leads that you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse not to start. And honestly, starting for fun is fine.
Yes.
Just get on there. Just start getting comfortable.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, like we said, right? I mean, the first post, the first pieces of content don't need to change the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And if people are really, really stuck on what to post, just think of the conversations you have on a daily basis. What are people asking you? What are people confused about with your product?
Yeah.
What are people, what is your support team helping your users with? All these things can turn into posts.
Yeah.
I think people overestimate what has to go into a post. Again, just ask yourself, is this going to have an immediate outcome on the audience?
Yeah.
If yes, if you can help them right away, that's a post. It doesn't have to be 500 words.
I always think that how-to content works really well on LinkedIn. So if you can post a how to do something or even something you take for granted. So I did a post on there a few months ago about how to schedule a callback. When you're doing a sales call, and something that's super simple for me and that I've been doing for years and years, and it was just 5 very simple points. It got over 100 likes, it got tons of comments, loads of engagement, I got DMs. So again, it's things that we almost take for granted. If you've got, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years experience, there's a lot that we take for granted.
Yeah.
That actually you can just share, and for newer people on the platform, it can be a huge unlock. They can be like, wow, you know, and it's just things that we do every single day.
everyone's at different levels in their careers and their journeys. Like, you don't know who you don't compare yourself to the LinkedIn gurus that have hundreds of thousands of followers. Remember those impressions. The people that are not identifying themselves are still looking at your content.
Yeah, it's actually worse to compare yourself to the people with bigger followings, because actually they don't have to put as much thought in anymore to their content to get large engagement.
Oh my gosh, I agree.
So you can see someone with large, a massive following that maybe started on the platform 6 years ago, you know, when it was very embryonic in terms of posting. I mean, I've had a profile on the platform for years and years, but really I think people only started actively posting on LinkedIn 5-6 years ago. I might be wrong, but
I didn't even know it was that long ago.
Maybe, yeah. So, but you can see people that were early adopters with huge followings that can just post a GIF or a meme and get like 5,000 likes. And you just look at that and be like, okay, I'll just post a picture.
If you see I think a good rule of thumb is if you see a big LinkedIn guru with a huge following posting a GIF or posting something that is not valuable, you just know that they're at a different level.
They're
the Oprahs, you know, of the world. Like, you can't compare yourself to them.
It's actually the smaller creators, I think. So some of the newer creators or people that have been on the platform maybe a relatively short time, or are just quite busy people and can't spend much time on the platform, when they do show up, their content can be very good and can really add a lot of value, but maybe they're just not getting much engagement. So you've actually got to go looking for these creators.
They're Are some you talking of the... about me?
Yes.
Aww.
I am. They're actually some of the people where I read their content and I think, wow, that's really useful. That can actually help me. Whereas I think a lot of people get wrapped up in commenting and liking the bigger creators, and then the algorithm just shows you that content every day and you might miss all this other stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's why, like I was saying before, like, you really cannot compare yourself to those big people.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to go through what you have to do to get yourself out there. Like, people already know who they are. You're still building that personal brand.
Yeah, exactly. What's the best thing LinkedIn's done for you, Laura, while in the time that you've been on there?
Oh my gosh. Just meeting so many people, including you.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's when it clicked for me the most, is when I started actually meeting people on LinkedIn. And I was like, whoa, they're not just like numbers or statistics. Like, they're humans that have really cool experiences, that have stories and knowledge to share. And that was like my turning point, where I was like, this is cool. I like this.
Because actually the magic happens offline, doesn't it? Outside of the platform. You know, when you take someone into a call for a discovery that might lead to business, or you have a good kind of working relationship that can lead to other interesting collaborations like we have now, that's all been through the platform. That's where maybe people also need to have the courage to step off the platform to message someone and say, let's have a call or let's get on Zoom.
At one point, at the beginning, I was literally having phone calls with anybody who wanted one.
Okay.
I was like, oh yeah, you want 15 minutes? Sure, let's chat.
That's also not the way to do it. Could be stressful.
In the end, obviously you have to be a little bit more selective.
Yeah.
But sometimes it led to nothing, and sometimes, like, I'm still friends with a lot of those people.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, whoa. Because also, if you really think about it, during COVID especially, like, it's so lonely. And then when there's not COVID, like, it's hard to meet people unless you're in an office.
Yeah.
But LinkedIn provides that source of real engagement if you take the time to do it.
Especially now, even as people return to the office, there's going to be more of a blended approach to work, where people are still working from home and they're still in the office. So again, LinkedIn provides that nice touch point, doesn't it? And if you are having calls with your close community and your network that you've built up, again, it gives you a good interaction, a good way to bounce ideas off people, maybe even outside of the workplace. And that's good, because it can be people working in other sectors, in other industries, but maybe at a similar level to you. That gives you tons of inspiration and new ideas.
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, the job I have now is from a LinkedIn connection.
Okay, cool.
I've had, just so many opportunities from LinkedIn, just things I didn't think was possible. And it all happened because you start talking to people on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And I think if everyone was to leave with one thing from this conversation is like, building your personal brand is great, being consistent, having, you know, contents and stuff. But if you're not willing to have conversations with people, it's not for you.
Yeah.
You have to have those conversations. You can guarantee that all those big LinkedIn people, they were having conversations with absolutely everybody at the beginning. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Now they're big, they can post a GIF, everything's fine and dandy for them. But at the beginning, I guarantee you, they were the ones who were talking to everybody in the comments and DMing them and saying, hey, how's it going? What's your business like? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to have those conversations with people.
Yeah. It's called social media, not selfish media.
Yeah. 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 It's not just to post and to get interaction. Like, yeah. Even if you just start with talking to one new person a week, I think that's way more effective than posting 9 times on the platform and never engaging with anybody.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that can be a goal.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think if you can look to build, for me anyway, if I can build kind of one good new connection, someone I would really count in my community rather than my network, once a month for me, if I can add one person, that's pretty good going for me. Because I'm naturally introverted, so it's difficult for me to get those close connections. But once a month, I think I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, and that's 12 new connections a month.
Yeah.
And that can lead to 12 new opportunities. 12 Precisely. New doors that open.
Yeah. So in terms of LinkedIn, the platform's changed a little bit. They've launched this kind of creator mode. They toyed with the stories feature, and the algorithm changes, seems to change from time to time. Last question, I just wanted to get your thoughts on if you had any kind of ideas around how LinkedIn might change moving forward, or what's next really for kind of personal branding or LinkedIn marketing.
I think LinkedIn will definitely change, but it's going to take them a long time to get there.
Okay.
Because I don't think people are as active as they want them to be on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Because I think there's still only like 1 or 2% of LinkedIn users that are actually posting.
Mm.
And they can't make any drastic changes until more people post.
Yep.
So like there's still so much opportunity for people to get on and get that organic reach.
Mm.
So much opportunity. And people are like, oh, it's going to be saturated by the end of the year, blah, blah, blah. At this pace, we have a good couple of years.
Yeah. I'm always surprised like, as well. Like, I know even at the weekend, I'll kind of pop in sometimes and I'll do a post. But you can see at the weekend, the platform must be starved for content because it's showing me posts from people from like 3 days ago, 5 days ago on Saturdays.
Exactly.
So you're like, exactly. Oh, okay, and then if you do a good post on the weekend, you're going to have massive reach and engagement because it's so starved for content.
Exactly. So like Facebook, Instagram, all those things change so often because there's so many people on it that they can make changes quickly.
Mm.
They can adapt to what the audience wants. But for LinkedIn, like there's just not enough.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely not saturated right now. If you want to start your personal brand on LinkedIn, consider the ACES method that we discussed before.
Mm-hmm.
Consider having conversations with people, and you are set.
Yeah. Love it. Awesome way to end the episode, Laura. I know this is your third time back on the show, but for anyone listening to this for the first time that maybe hasn't heard you before, how can people get in touch if they want to find out more about you?
Absolutely. So, well, first of all, they have to go listen to the other episodes.
Of course.
But you can find my podcast, all my work at marketingbound.com or on LinkedIn, Laura L. Bernhard. I know people get awkward about that, but it is Bernhard on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Laura, thanks so much again for coming back on the show and we'll follow this up again, I'm sure, in a few months.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me again.
You've made it to the end of another episode of Digital Transformation and Leadership. If you're enjoying the show, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. No need to leave a written review. Just clicking on the 5 stars is enough. I'd really appreciate it as it helps the show get found and it helps those listener numbers grow. And we'll be back again next week when we will again go behind the scenes with another top business leader to understand how they're digitally transforming their company. The Digital Transformation and Leadership Podcast is a Blue Aurora Media production.